This is a crucial transition time for the United Auto Workers Union. New UAW President Dennis Williams is picking up from where predecessor Bob King left off. Detroit News columnist Daniel House has been thinking about this. You know this as a business columnist, Daniel. Dennis Williams brings some firsts to the job of UAW president. What are those?
Well, he's the first, for starters, he's the first president of the UAW who never headed one of the UAW's big three departments, GM, Ford, and Chrysler. He didn't work in an auto plant. He just does not have that kind of pedigree. And he's just a very different kind of cat. But I think a very important one as we come out of, this will be the first major contract, really post bailout. I mean, there was one in 2011, but that was pretty well cooked by the terms of the bailout. So I think this is going to be the first more regular, if you will, contract, and it's going to be done at a very different time for this industry. All three companies are profitable. GM and Ford, very profitable in their home markets, which is what really matters to the United Auto Workers negotiations. And I think there's going to be a real attempt to essentially claw back some of the things that were, quote, lost. So there's going to be a big battle, rhetorically at least, over how they're going to do that. There hasn't been a base wage increase by the hourly worker in the big three plants in probably more than a decade. They've been able to share the wealth by increasing their profit-sharing plans and their profit-sharing payout formulas, and they've been pretty handsome, and I expect that that's going to happen again this time. But I think there's little question that they're going to be able to get through this without some kind of base wage increase, among other things.
Remind us again, when are the contracts up and when do they start talking?
It would be up, I would think. I'm not sure the exact date, but probably mid-September 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And the times of when they start to talk has been changing over the years. It used to start in June of that year and really go through the whole summer and then culminate hopefully in a contract by mid-September. Under Ron Gelfinger and more recently under Bob King, those they've started a lot later. And they've moved a lot more quickly, and I would expect that trend to continue. I think that there's a more of a sophistication about what they do. They meet much more regularly throughout the contract periods, the companies with the unions, and so the issues are not so the list of issues is usually not as long as it has been in the past. Plus, the fact is that the workforces are much smaller.
True,
and I think they've come to agreement on a couple of things, one of which is that they have to be competitive and that they cannot be paying wages and benefits that are dramatically higher than their foreign-owned competition that are operating mostly in the American South.
Dennis Williams, then he gets about a year or so to kind of get his sea legs, if you will, as president of the UAW. And you believe, you say in your column today in the Detroit News, that Dennis Williams very much needs to chart some new courses from his predecessor, Bob King. And I get a sense you're looking in, not only in terms of style, but actions. Talk about style first. In what ways do you think Bob King was going down the wrong road for the UAW?
Well, I've questioned for some time two fundamental notions about Bob King. One was him talking about being a solutions-oriented UAW leader and trying to be a problem solver on one hand. And then on the other hand, threatening companies and claiming, you know, in the case of one Asian automaker, that they were violating human rights violators and being a lot more belligerent and confrontational. And I think to most thinking people that look at that, those two positions are somewhat incompatible. Mm. So you're kind of either one or the other, but which is it? And the second thing is Bob King is a very politically active UAW president. Now, it's important to note that most union presidents are politically active. But Bob King was pretty singular in his activity and made some choices and did some things as president of the UAW that were arguably very deleterious to organized labor in Michigan and around the country.
Case in point, Proposal 2.
Case in point, Proposal 2. You know, I had reported several times. I, in fact, did an interview with him after Proposal 2 went down, in which he admitted to me on the record that the governor of Michigan did, in fact, tell him before they submitted the signatures with the petitions not to do this, that it would come back to haunt him. And the phrase that he used was, don't kick the elephant. And there were a lot of Democrats and union insiders who essentially agreed with the governor who told and advised the president not to go ahead with this. But Bob King went ahead with it anyway.
So that failure to enshrine collective bargaining in the state constitution opened the door to right to work.
I think even among union people, they refer to him as the father of right to work.
Wow.
And now that could have some implications next year if you have some UAW members who start to say, you know what, I don't want to pay my dues. I'm going to opt out. So, I mean, could that be five people? Could it be 50? Could it be 500? I don't know. But I think that door has been opened. And in part, it's been opened by misreading the political winds in Michigan when you had Republicans controlling both houses of the legislature and a Republican governor. And they were given the opening here by the pushing of Proposal 2, and they took it.
The other thing you point out is he did a lot of globetrotting and a lot of tinkering, if you will, and meetings with overseas unions.
Yes, I've been very skeptical of that notion for a very long time, predating Bob King. There have been efforts to do, you know, transnational alliances between unions, but I spent 4 years living and working in Germany and having some familiarity with IG Metall. I've been in auto plants in Belgium and in Sweden. And I can tell you that I think union concerns are very much a national issue. It depends on the political culture of a country. It depends on the labor laws of that country. And so as a practical matter, I think transnational alliances really are pretty meaningless to people who are living and working in a country. And for a UAW member, what really matters to them is the kind of contract they have and the company they're working for, whether they are profitable or not, and whether the products they're building are good products that are popular in the marketplace. Those are the kind, there's all, and all the issues that are wrapped up into those questions are what really matters. Not whether your president is off at an International Labor Federation meeting in Geneva, which is where Bob King was when I interviewed him in that post-right-to-work vote interview, which I thought was very ironic. Mm. I mean, there he's on the phone talking to me from the most expensive city in Europe, if not the world.
Do you hear things? It's only the first week, brand new, but do you hear anything or sense anything about Dennis Williams as a leader that makes you feel like he is up to the challenges he faces?
I can tell you that the people at the companies that I talk to at fairly high levels are very more optimistic about Dennis. They recognize that this is a guy who was not in the room in 08 and 09 when Ron Gettelfinger and Bob King, frankly, were working with the government and the companies to try and save the industry. This is not a guy who came up through the Ford department or the GM department. In the case of Gettelfinger and King, they both had come up through the Ford department, so they knew that company intimately, and they knew the players very well. But I think they see this as Dennis Williams as somebody who can be an innovative bargainer, who can look at ideas in different ways, and they're optimistic. I think you said it at the top, and I think it's true. We're moving into a new phase of leadership in this industry, in this town. You've got a new CEO at General Motors. You're going to have a new CEO at Ford in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You got a new president of the UAW. You know, the old geezer in all of this is Sergio Marchionne, and I say that with quotes. But he's the one who's been around the longest here in that leadership position. So I think and the other thing that you have to lay on top of all of this is an industry that is pretty consistently profitable for the last 4 years, mm-hmm. and I think there's an expectation given the contracts that they have and the efficiencies that they've been able to deliver that they will be profitable over the longer term.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.